I want to list off some special interest groups, and will you say yes or no if you'll take money from them?
All right, let's go.
What about big oil?
Okay, seriously? No, you're talking to the wrong guy. Like, literally, oil's, big oil's number one enemy.
Gavin Newsom has, to my memory, presided over cuts to solar panel subsidies in California.
Is me, so not a chance in hell.
Big tobacco.
And by the way, they're the polluted heart of this climate crisis. Big oil and the lies and the mistruths they've been perpetuating the American people on the global world and the globe are disgraceful.
Big tobacco.
No damn way.
Yeah. What about AIPAC?
AIPAC never have, never will.
Oh, he finally heard of them. Holy shit.
You promise to fight back against these disproportionately powerful special interest groups that are hurting the American people?
Look, I think you follow the money. Every time something goes wrong, follow the money. I continue to support. We've struggled with it, but public financing, we do this. We're constantly doing what we call clean money campaign. And we have to do more and better in that respect. But it's, the revolving door, special interest and lobbying, all the self-dealing with stocks, portfolios. I think we need to have some version of term limits for Congress. I mean, we have to be a reform-oriented party. And that's something in the past we were defending the status quo. Uh-huh. Trump took advantage of that. Democratic Party needs to lean in. And when it comes to lobbying.
I guess he heard back from the polling here. What a spineless chameleon, man. Jesus Christ.
Reform when it comes to these corporate special interests, we have to be much more aggressive. California is leading, but we still, with humility, have a lot more work to do, which I take responsibility to do more and better.
We are working on an anti-corruption platform that we're calling Project 2029. So we're going to...
You're taking the name from the Republicans? You're ceding them more cultural power? Why? The average person is going to hear Project 2029 and just think it's another Project 2025. Why would you steal the fucking format? Oh my God. I can't do this, man. Take me to a country with less stupid politics, like Argentina or Turkey.
Continue to weed out that corruption. California Governor Gavin Newsom, a young man in a hurry. Check out his book. Thank you so much, Governor. Genuinely means a lot.
Great to be with you. Thanks for coming.
Adam Mockler's a DNC shill. Yeah, I know. Works with Midas Touch. I know.
In Nashville, Tennessee, with California Governor Gavin Newsom for the first stop of his Red State book tour. Governor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
This kid debated Hassan on Dem strategy, and his argument is that you can't use Newsom's chummy interactions with Kirk and Bannon as an indicator that he would throw trans people under the bus for policies he passed in California. Wait, was this the convo that Hassan had, like, really recently? I saw him. I saw a clip. I didn't watch it. I just saw the thumbnail, but it looked like Hassan was talking to, like, a kid. I'm not trying to insult Mockler. I mean, obviously, he's very young. I don't know enough about him to like have a deep personal hatred. Same dude. Okay. I'm kind of curious how that went. Will you all forgive a white boy for taking a peek? Something, something.
I really respect Jasmine Crockett as a candidate or as a person. I think she's a firebrand who's stuck at the Trump and was a great representative of that district. But the way that people are attacking anyone online who endorses Tallarico is really just not cool.
Okay.
I've seen my friends get called like white supremacists.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Acknowledging that, yeah, it is insane that the Crockett supporters are calling people Jim Jones for supporting Tallarico is pretty.
Not James Gandolfini. This is the meme of the first time when we're at the fucking, when we're at the gallows. And I'm like, first time? That's.
Okay.
He wants the Republicans to win. I don't.
Yeah, I don't think you want the Republicans to win. I don't think that at all. And here's where we agree on, actually. So I keep hearing you say that you don't want Democrats to run on the harm reduction narrative in 2028. And I totally effing agree. If we're running on a harm reduction narrative in 2028, we have failed somewhere massively. We want to build an exciting, forward-looking message that can turn out not only our base, but Americans who have been struggling. We need to have something that is not just us unified to our opposition of Donald Trump. For the past decade, we have been defined by our opposition to Trump, and we need something more exciting. So yeah. I agree. We should not run on a harm reduction narrative in 2028. But like what you just said, how you just worded your statements was not how you worded it when Jennifer Welch asked you that question.
No,
you
I would vote third party because it's out of my hands at that point.
No, you said at that point it doesn't even matter.
What I meant is it's out of my hands, which is the argument that I've made with Kamala Harris after like urging the campaign to listen to the warning signs that the people were giving them about their reluctance to address Gaza in a
Fuck this kid, he's just fishing for clips. Has he done anything wrong yet? I don't think he's done anything wrong.
meaningful way, like signaling that they would also, they would truly be like an anti-war a party, even though Donald Trump is like a fucking warmonger, trying to get them to communicate that, trying to get them to communicate that there are meaningful differences between their design overall, not leaning in and not conceding on the white nativist anti-immigrant narratives, knowing full well how devastating Trump's mass deportations were going to look like. I poured hours and hours and hours of commentary into this, thousands of hours of commentary into this, and it's always reduced back to whatever like reasonable soundbite that people can cling on to say, oh, we got him. He's a third party guy.
What do you mean it's out of, well, you said you would vote third party, but what do you mean it's out of your hands?
Oh, perfect.
Like you mean like we would lose at that point?
I don't know if we would necessarily, I don't know if we would lose because J.D. Vance is uniquely uncharismatic. Yeah. But
we saw that today.
I mean, we see that every day, right? I mean, he's fucking disaster. I still think that Gavin Newsom is,
Hassan does not like to compromise. Has either person said anything people are mad at yet? I feel like you guys are preemptively getting mad. I think there's enough in the world to get mad about that you can wait for it to come to you. You don't need to go looking for it.
Particularly weak against J.D. Vance, unfortunately. Sure. So I don't know. I feel like it would still be a toss up at that point. Partially because while J.D. Vance is not capable of holding the Trump coalition together, I don't even worry about J.D. Vance as much necessarily. I don't really worry about Marco Rubio. I worry about Tucker Carlson. I think Tucker Carlson has he's the real torch carrier of the MAGA movement. I don't even know if Donald Trump recognizes that yet or admits that personally, but I think it's there.
The problem with Tucker Carlson is that absolute allegiance to the capital class and everything that it represents is kind of part and parcel of being the leader of an American political party. Whether you're on the Democrat or the Republican ticket, you kind of need to be. Even if Tucker Carlson is disingenuously questioning the narrative, like he's just doing it as a grift, he still is questioning the narrative. It's really tough to shift from, like, you know, asking Huckabee why we still supply Israel arms, even though we know they have illegal nuclear weapons, and then shift into, like, you know, just being a pro-Israel shill, like every politician has to be.
And he fits the mold of an outsider, populist, anti-establishment
television guy who understands how to communicate. He is charismatic as well. So
that is really scary.
So he is the one I'm actually terrified of, more so than Marco Rubio, who is like a straight line neocon. He's not going to be able to do the populist shit. And J.D. Vance is basically like evil Pete Buttigieg, like role reversal Pete Buttigieg, where like he also has that like consultant, McKinsey consultant vibe to him. I like to say when, you know, J.D. Vance comes into your neighborhood, you know that like the coal mine is shutting down. Like he has the attitude of a guy who's going to be like, we see you, we hear you, but we have to eliminate some redundancies. And I think most working class individuals, regardless of the MAGA cult, kind of see that he is insincere. So he doesn't have that populist element, and he tries to make up for it by being like this gross little groiper, even though he has a Indian wife and Indian children, and therefore even the super racists don't like him for that reason. So,
I mean, it seems like they're having a civil conversation here, you know?
To say it, I hope he doesn't try to run on restoring USA, because I feel like that will lead to a significant defeat.
You should not run on restoring USA.
No, you should just do it.
Don't run on it. Just do it.
Do it. I'm not even saying that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm saying he should not be running around being like, I'm going to restore USA. That's why you should vote for me.
No, that's totally fine. But this matters. This matters. There's
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you on that either.
It seems like they're chill. I don't know.
Work tirelessly to make sure that you have fucking tomatoes and tomatoes in your salad and guacamole on your Chipotle,
so far, this is the Democratic
Chipotle
Party's
burritos.
Stance.
What?
So far, that's the Democratic Party's stance entirely.
No, hold on. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to fucking concede on, you know, Lankford bills or say that, like, ICE is supposed to exist in the way that it does at all. There is a clear difference between someone like myself and the way that Gavin Newsom has communicated thus far.
Hassan was pretty conciliatory in this convo. Okay, but on what? Where do you feel he was being conciliatory?
The way that like the National Democratic Party is currently being perceived, right? The reason why we think they're being weak is because they are too conciliatory. They say, oh, people want to abolish ICE. It now has like plurality. And yet the major Democrats are refusing to say that. And they're saying, no, ICE actually wants body cameras. Technically, from a harm reduction standpoint, body cameras are better than no body cameras, right? even though Jonathan Ross was filming himself when he shot Renee Good, technically body cameras could potentially bring about some semblance of accountability. That's harm reduction. But the difference shouldn't be between body cameras versus no body cameras. The difference is abolish ICE versus keep ICE at the current level of funding versus take ICE's funding away, then inevitably abolish it and go back to the previous structure that existed where the Department of Homeland Security...
The crux of it is that Mockler thinks it is damaging to voter energy and thus the future of our nation to attack the Dems as hard as Hassan has been. It's really tough to not attack the Dems when they're in favor of all the really bad stuff that the Republicans are. So, like, what's happening in Iran right now, posturing World War III, massive conflict, Israel gets to do what it wants. Democrats are not speaking up against this, not even a little. Like, seriously, it's just they're in line on this, you know? Wealth accumulation, Gavin Newsom immediately said he'd strike down the wealth tax that Ro Khanna advocated for. I guess I just wonder, like, what, like, if the real, like, edge here, the real line is like, well, ICE will be more civilized under Dems. That's a fucking weak sell, man, because ICE being uncivilized and murderous is not what's going to end the world. You know, it's really bad, but that's not even close to it's like the most visibly disgusting thing, you know. But then you take a look at, well, how many people is ICE killed? Okay, how many people is defunding US aid killed? You know what I mean? The scale of the conflict here is so massive, and Dems don't even touch on the issues I think are really, really important.
He wasn't this massive Palantir-backed Israel-style surveillance apparatus, but instead was there was a more just process that actually yielded American prosperity for decades and decades when people knew that they could come here and work hard of money that is being dumped into quote-unquote independent media from the exact same corporate benefactors.
Well, they're being too dang friendly to get anything from. I'm real sorry. Here, I'll go back to this one.
It's literally, we just got off stage. It's the first, quite literally, the first time I've ever done anything like this, which is go in front of a bunch of folks talking about the book and talking about the inspiration for the book and, you know, trying to open up and be honest about not only what's in the book, but the world,
it's really bad,
the moment we're living through.
I want to talk to you about politics in just one moment, but first, let me know what we can expect from this book. What's the story that you tell in Young Man in a Hurry?
Well, one thing it's not is a sanitized version. It's not a political book. And I say that with respect, what? And I don't mean to malign or suggest pointing to any other books that are out there. But historically, politicians, particularly those that are in elected office, tend to sanitize so much of what they write. This is not just a young man, but because
racist AI videos of our former presidents. He's calling for the arrest of the governor of my state of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker. He's calling for the arrest of every single Democratic governor because he wants to squash the opposition. What kind of moral clarity would you provide to a young man who's growing up in today's America, or young people in general?
Well, I think the most important thing, and I wish I understood this years and years ago,
That's kind of his point. Dems would still keep ICE and bomb the Middle East, but they would fund USAID and save millions. Okay, so I agree with you. Republicans cut USAID, Dems didn't. The problem is that Democrats, by being bad at politics and failing to address underlying issues in the system, lost to the Republicans, and the Republicans then did the bad thing. So even if you get a Dem to win, if the Dems consistently do such a bad job of running that they then lose to the Republicans, anything good they do will then be undone. Every good thing ever done by a Democrat is meaningless if they then flub the next election to a Republican. That's what happened with Biden. Right? I mean, that's like, okay, we got 4 years of Biden. Wow, what a great stretch and relaxation. Got some R&R between Trump terms, you know. What did it amount to? You get the infrastructure bill? Great, you know. You get a budget reconciliation. That's how you're getting a couple bucks through. Not a couple bucks. It was, you know, it's a lot of infrastructure reform. But what does it change fundamentally, you know? Okay, maybe the bridges fall down a couple years later. There are structural issues that go so far beyond this. And again, the fundamental one, like the big one, is Republicans can't be allowed to govern anymore. They're insane. I think the main difference is Adam is looking for short-term harm reduction. You and Hassan are thinking long-term. Well, I think that, like, the problem is that, like, the following the Dem line has led to a lot of short-term harm as well. The things I criticize the Dems for allowed Hillary Clinton to lose to Trump in 2016. It allowed Biden to flub 2024 by arrogantly running again because he was being protected by his staffers rather than the party having an open primary. Because again, the Democratic Party is not very internally democratic. The processes that allowed them to rat fuck Bernie in 2016 and again in 2020 were the processes that kept a primary from happening for 2024. You know, the exact same arrogant consultant-led, well, we'll decide who the electable candidate is attitude. Keep in mind that the Republican Party hated Trump when he first ran in 2015. They kowtowed to him when he turned out to be the best candidate. But Democrats have already decided what's best for you. I think we would have won in 2024 if we'd had a real primary, if Biden had just stepped down and been like, hey, listen, Jack, I had my one term. I guess the point that I'm making here is that the Democrats fail not only in the long-term issues they want to address, but in their ability to, in the short term, fight against the Republicans and get good stuff done. The Democrats, as they are now, have caused us to be locked in an eternal cycle of ineffectual Dem and then ruinous Republican. And we can't make the Republicans not ruinous because that's what they run on. That's the point for them. But we can try to make the Democrats less ineffective. And to me, that's like part of that is also getting good at addressing the underlying cause of a lot of these issues. How could a Democratic Party ever be good if they're unwilling to criticize what Trump is about to do in Iran? You know what I mean? Like, what version of the Democratic Party is quick, effective, responsive to the interests of the population, willing to fix, get down and fix the problems, but also they want all of us to die for Israel? Like, I don't think there's a version of the Dems that can be like that. The Republican Party knows what they are, and they've committed to that process. The Dems, it feels like they don't. Do you want to be the Progressive Party? Do you want to advance democracy? If you like democracy, why do you do so many things that are anti-democratic? Like not having a primary, you know, even though you definitely fucking needed one, like rat fucking progressive candidates, like having a media class, like attack people like Mamdani, just across the board, multilaterally tear into Mamdani in a desperate bipartisan effort to prevent him from winning. And then you lose anyway, you know, in an environment like this. God, remember how the Dems were, remember how Biden responded to the Palestine campus encampments? Peaceful encampments, a bunch of students just protesting a genocide. Biden was out there aligning himself with Republican messaging on how they were anti-Semites and how they were disrupting the public order, smiling as the Columbia police and the LAPD dive down on people at UCLA. Insane shit, man. Again, there is no way to fix the Democratic Party without addressing these problems. And to me, that criticism is part of me, like, trying to fix things in the short term, too. You know, like the best case outcome for me would be like a big swell of populist sentiment in the Dems that leads to a good candidate winning. I want that. Like, when I say I'm not going to vote for Gavin Newsom in 28, that's me hoping they give me someone better than Gavin Newsom, and not somebody marginally better either.
From don't follow others. Your expression's unique. No one else has it. And I say that because one of the things I've discovered in my own life is every time I compare myself to someone else, it created anxiety, man. You know, the comparison's the thief of all happiness. So this notion of discovering who you are, I mentioned it up on the stage today, everyone has a story, mm-hmm. and it's fascinating, unique. You see the world with a unique set of eyes. Your life is completely distinctive in terms of the experiences that have shaped it versus others. There may be commonality. There certainly is a lot more in common, but there's also nuance to that. And that's wonderful. Just stay there. Stay present in that space. Don't put a mask on.
I'm sorry. Palantir served this up to me on my Twitter feed because it can hear me talking at all times. From 2023.
Listen, Democrats, can we please stop talking about primarying Joe Biden? Who should run against Joe Biden? Will Democrats get behind Joe Biden? This many Democrats want an alternative to Joe Biden. Can we just not? The absolute last thing democracy needs right now is a Democratic primary. We're in late-stage capitalism with a corrupt Supreme Court on a knife's edge between autocracy and democracy, and people want to spend $100 million to undermine our successful incumbent when the alternative is the twice-impeached criminal ex-president or the man who is single-handedly turning Florida into a fascist dictatorship? Why? I know people are excited for fresh young leaders with bright new ideas, but those fresh young leaders will never get a chance.
Is she on Cora's payroll? Is that true?
If we don't protect democracy now. The fact is, Joe Biden has gotten more accomplished in 2 years than any president in the history of presidents. In an increasingly cynical world, Joe Biden is a decent man with an incredible staff who knows what he's doing and has thoughtful plans for the future of this country that include women's rights.
She's here on the front page. Jesus Christ, man. Every fucking time. Every fucking time, dude, with like no exceptions. I can't.
Voters' rights and higher minimum wage and lower healthcare costs and environmental protections. It could be argued that the biggest reason democracy is winning in this David and Goliath story.
She was not then, but she is now. Yeah, they saw this and they were like, that's the energy we need.
Ukraine is because Joe Biden had the foreign policy experience and humility to gather world leaders together and build a coalition to.
This isn't parody. No, this was like a common sentiment. Centrist Dems expressed this sentiment when people were pointing out the obvious fact that Joe Biden could not be our 2024 candidate.
Support them. He can run on all of that. We don't need to replace him. We need to spend our time and money giving him a bigger majority in Congress so he can get even more accomplished. Yeah, he's old. He talks old. He's a goofy grandpa who says things like malarkey. Who cares? By every measurable metric, he's an excellent leader. If we didn't have lying propaganda networks, self-serving chaos agents constantly trying to sell us on the idea that he's some demented evil pedophile out to ruin the country, and you just looked at the facts of his presidency on paper, there would be zero debate.
Was this before or after the debate? Before.
He was doing a bang-up job. You don't spend $100 million undermining your own party to defeat someone who's doing a bang-up job. You run your successful sitting president, and you spend the resources you would have spent on a primary building the infrastructure that will defeat your opposition. You know, the party who wants to take your vote and force you to have a baby and tell you what you can read.
To be fair, you were still optimistic about Biden's chance up until the debate. No, I would never, ever said I wanted Biden running in 2024. I never said that. I was so fucking mad that he and the Democratic Party insisted on that. My hope was that he would do all right in the debate because Trump was also mentally cooked. And yeah, Biden ended up being even worse than that. But I never signed off on the idea that Biden should have been our two-term presidential candidate. Nobody sane did.
And what you can teach and what you can know. The people passing laws to tell people how to dress and how to act and what they can do.
Yeah, don't put
that
evil on me.
The party calling for a national divorce and suggesting that maybe Democrats shouldn't get to vote at all. The party that wants to get rid of every...
Yeah. We get the point.
I did. You know, I was always trying to be someone. And I'm finally discovering myself and just letting go. Deep breath. We're all trying to be in a hurry. We're all trying to be something, be like somebody. But really, the whole point of the journey, man.
That's right.
Those are the values that men can really thrive and find abundance in their lives.
Yeah, and the algorithms only incentivize the outrage. So whatever Trump or Elon Musk is saying on any given day is blown up in the algorithms. But your advice was really good. I feel like due to the competitive nature of America, it's really easy as a young person who's trying to compete for the next job or the next position to kind of lose the learning aspect. Like, I don't have to be that person. I can learn from that person and kind of apply it to myself. Speaking of people who are not good to look up to, it feels like so many people in Trump's administration have gotten caught lying, straight up lying about
really?
Their involvement with Jeffrey Epstein. Elon Musk lied about his involvement. He was actually trying to come to the island. Trump, of course, has lied about his involvement every single day. But someone that recently was really caught lying was Howard Lutnick, who said that he had cut Epstein off in 2005. He said he got the heebie-jeebies, wouldn't let his family yes. around him. But now we learn that he had visited Epstein's island with his family. He's in more trouble for alleged corruption with his family this week. Do you think Howard Lutnick should resign, be fired? What type of accountability would you like to see for these people who are just lying their asses off?
There's been no accountability across the spectrum. When the irony is, we're seeing there's been accountability around the globe,
yeah.
but not in the United States of America. And Lutnick's just exhibit A. He may not. I don't know. There's nothing to suggest he was a perpetrator of certain acts.
Yeah.
But
why? Why? No, he just loved Epstein and spent time with him for what? Why?
But he certainly was an enabler.
It's the fucking parasite in Newsom's brain that makes him deferential to Republicans.
Because he knew at that point about the accusations. This was after these accusations were out there. He can't claim ignorance on the front end. In fact, he himself claim knowledge and said he discussed me. I had the heebie-jeebies. Yeah. And then we find out, well, that didn't stop him from going to the island and who knows how many times. So, you know, we know what we know, but we don't know what we don't know because so much has been redacted. This cover-up continues. So, yeah, look, I'm all for accountability. This whole Epstein file, though, it's all about just the elites protecting the elites. It just goes to the worst of what our instincts were, that there's a certain set of rules for the and then the rest of us. And Trump is sort of the manifestation of that. Lutnick falls nightly.
I think the incredible thing here, besides, I mean, it's Newsom, so whatever, you get the dribble, how fucking uninteresting he is to listen to. Just like ignoring the narcissism and the dishonesty and everything, he is so, he's really bad. Like, okay, you have an easy angle. Like, you are up against the Epstein class, right? Lutnick, they all lied, whatever. Why the fuck? Well, there's no evidence that he actually did anything wrong, but like, isn't it weird? You know, why would he's always catching himself? He's always like moderating his speech, his behavior, you know? It's like it just makes him very uninteresting. It makes it sound like he's just waffling his way through every conversation.
Very nicely knitted into that as well. And so I really like what Ossoff said. I'm going to Georgia next, you know, about this Epstein class. It was very resonant because it sort of captures, it layers so much of this mosaic that's being knitted. But Lutnick needs, I think, to come clean, and he needs to explain himself a hell of a lot more.
Lutnick needs to come clean and explain himself. Really compelling language here, you know, really, really, really compelling language. In a media environment where Republicans can basically just call Democrats traitors and enemies of the state and pedophiles and so on, he needs to explain himself.
Then he has.
It was the lies that were so damn offensive. The fact that he lied to the face of the American people, what, 3 weeks after they lied to our faces about Renee Nicole Good and Alex Pretty, it is just straight gaslighting from this administration. They're asking us not to believe our own eyes. And I guess coming over the Democrats for a second, my team and I talk a lot about how the Democrats for the past decade have been unified by our opposition to Donald Trump, and we need something affirmative. We need something we can fight for. And in your state of...
Did you guys see the fucking Katie Porter for the primary debate? Katie Porter showing up at the debate, the previously a shoo-in to win the governorship in California. She showed up with a sign saying Trump, like the most lame 10 years out of date. Like, okay, she showed up at a debate, tiny little sign too. Hey guys, check me out.
California, Calrex has been something that you've been pushing the envelope on. Insulin is down to $11. Is that what it is?
Yeah, the first, we just did our own, what we call Calrex. So it's our own branded insulin. We're not subsidizing it. We're just lowering the cost. And by the way, that distinction for Democrats is an incredibly important one. We don't want to subsidize the inefficiencies of the system. We want to use, dare I say, free enterprise capitalist tendencies as a government and compete against the private sector. They did
really bold stuff here. Yeah. You know what we should try that we haven't done before? Public private partnerships and the privatization of government enterprises. You know, that's what we haven't dipped our toes down into this pool before, you know. Really good stuff.
Everything to stop this. Yeah. But we got the price down $11 a pen. And it's just one of many things we're doing. We're doing with diapers next. We just did a bunch of free diapers. Now we're going to start getting our own branded manufactured diapers, which is a big deal because half of the births in our Medi-Cal system, our Medicaid system, California Medi-Cal, half of them are people in that system can't afford the cost of diapers. So we're trying to do it in a lot of categories. And I think it's an interesting approach. So it's not just about coverage. It's about lowering costs. We have to have that mindset. California is the first universal state in the country.
He's talking about competing against the private sector with a government insulin program. You shouldn't compete against the private sector. You should obliterate it. If you want to provide insulin, you shouldn't have to deal with all of the, because the problem is if you're competing with the private sector, they have more money than you. In the long run, they undercut you or they buy you out. This has happened in so many countries in so many different ways. The problem with competing is that much like in actual free market competition, people cheat. Like, for example, eventually they deregulate your program, or your program ends up being so ineffective because they're deliberately undercutting their costs for a while that people decide to cut the government program and then the private sector raises their prices. It's like, again, we have tried this, okay? You cannot out-free market the free market as the government. You need to nationalize. Also, this is literally the Republican solution to healthcare and other stuff. Yeah, I mean, of course, obviously, because they know they can co-opt it.
The pre-existing conditions, ability to pay, or your immigration status, which I know is controversial, but we've done it. 6.4% uninsured rate. If it's not the
law. Couldn't the government just do it at a loss? Yeah, but then eventually people defund it. Again, like this is the problem. It's like, how do I put this? It's like the same reason private schools shouldn't exist, okay? If public schools compete with private schools, what happens? Wealthy parents take their kids out of the public school and into the private schools. The private schools have more money being put into them, so the quality of education is higher. As more wealthy parents take their kids out, you now have a two-tiered system. The elite people who are willing to pay more for higher quality, because there's more money in it, versus the poor people who all have to deal with the now defunded public schools. This has happened everywhere in the United States. So private schools shouldn't exist? Yes. Yeah. No, they shouldn't exist. Imagine like the government building train lines, but then the private sector is also allowed to build train. Like if you are providing something at an institutional, like government is providing this level, you don't, the private market should have no, like the government is just taking it over. You do not want people to develop the ability to privately undercut what you're doing. So we should ban the private market from making insulin? Well, I mean, you can't ban the private market from making insulin. There's no, what are they called? Not trademark. There's no patent on it, right? Anyone can produce insulin. The problem is more the underlying philosophy.
Lowest, it's right there, near the lowest in the country. But now, after we
have... Of what? Of engaging with private corporations on the free market as a government, as opposed to just flatly nationalizing the industry.
Coverage, our obsession is around cost. And this is one of the most interesting and exciting pieces of that cost puzzle and solution.
And California is such a progressive state as it pertains to health care. You guys built a firewall in this state after Roe v. Wade was overturned and invested a bunch of money into
it. He is California governor, he can't? Yeah, but he's going to run for president where he could. Why are we being disagreeable here? What is this? Come on. The effect of the government competing with private markets to try to deliver the same product. I'm not trying to derail the whole thing. This is already going on long enough, but like this is a well-studied phenomena because you're making government-made drugs out to be bad. I have not said that. How could I believe that if I believe in nationalization? I've not said that. You're arguing with the, or how about this? You know what? How about this? Because this is fair. I don't think you're acting in bad faith. I think it's a complicated subject, and I think I might have, in my hatred for Gavin Newsom, kind of jumped at the gun a little bit in expressing my position. How about that? Like, how about in the future I elaborate? Not right now, because we got to finish this, but like in the future I can elaborate. I do hate Gavin Newsom. Maybe I spoke a little bit too, you know, a little bit too emphatically. I do think there's nuance here. I don't think there's nothing. I don't want to argue with about, no, that chatter's just dumb. No, that chatter's not just dumb. I don't think that's true. We don't have to do that. I have no enemies, okay? Except Newsom.
And it's turned into a sanctuary state. You turned it into a sanctuary state with SB 107. I got all this in the back of my head because I've been thinking about that. I've been doing debates about this. SB 107 turned it into a sanctuary state for trans people, just such a progressive state. What do you think Democrats should be fighting for? Yeah. Beyond our opposition to Donald Trump, what should we define our party as? What should America be defined as in the Democrats' eyes?
Well, look, in the spirit, you know, many parts, one body. California is the most diverse state in the world's most diverse democracy. 27% of my state is foreign born. We're a majority minority state. We practice pluralism. That's a word that a lot of people have to look up because it's a word no one talks about anymore. This notion that we're actively engaged in celebrating, not just tolerating that diversity. It's the reason Silicon Valley is Silicon Valley, not just the Central Valley. So we are the most abundant state as it relates to ag, $62.1 billion. We dominate in quantum and artificial intelligence and robotics and space, new technologies, R&D. We're the third largest capital in the world in R&D, research and development. And we're pushing out the boundaries of discovery and entrepreneurialism because of those values that are part of our DNA. And I think those are uniquely American values. I mean, you talk about, you know, American values being defined broadly, both parties. Ronald Reagan himself, his last speech, talked about Lady Liberty's torch. And he talked about the life force, his words, life force of newcomers to the United States of America. And so there's this ability to get the first round draft choices around the rest of the world, the best and the brightest, pushing out the boundaries of discovery, these conveyor belts for talent, research and innovation, patents, institutions of higher learning, constantly doing more and better as it relates to lowering costs across the spectrum by being more innovative and entrepreneurial. AI is going to define our future. Yep. Profound.
There we go.
Ways, I think that 2028 election is going to be an AI election every way, shape, or form.
An AI election, huh? Jesus Christ. Just say, like, the way forward is to be more entrepreneurial in the same rant where he talks about fighting against private markets with a government alternative. You know where this guy's priorities are. I guess this is more my sentiment, right? Like, the effort to replace free market economics with assurances, with entitlements, which I believe in very much, is always going to be a failed attempt. It's always going to fail if people like this are running it, because when they say they want the government to compete, what they mean is they want to treat the government like a business, which is what he's indicating here. What we need is for people to be more entrepreneurial. Motherfucker, Silicon Valley is in California. These people are tearing the world apart right now. They're a big financial speculative bubble. It's not about being entrepreneurial. It's just money, money man, money, 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 money man.
2026 will be.
But hate look, this we fucking have to guy.
Paint a picture of a journey where everyone feels included, yeah, and we can go on the journey together. It's the vernacular of the 60s. So we can solve for ignorance and poverty and disease and this notion that we're all better off and we're all better off. And we have to be repairers at the same time of this breach. And we've got to sort of knit back that fabric of what defines the best of America that Trump and Daley is trying to vandalize. That's not the agenda. I'm not here promoting that agenda. But I think inherent in what I said are the values that I think define the best of the Democratic Party, and racial justice, social justice, economic justice, but also pushing out the boundaries of discovery,
yeah,
of opportunity.
That makes me very proud. Like, an America that is based on innovation, but also diversity, being a melting pot that pushes forward technology. We want to remove a lot of these. My team and I have been talking about how we got to get these special interest groups, these disproportionately powerful interest groups and lobbyists out of politics, so we can make real progress for the American people. I want to list off some special interest groups, and will you say yes or no if you'll take money from them?
All right, let's go.
What about big oil?
Seriously? No, you're talking to the wrong guy. Like, literally, oil's big
oil. Mockley, did your question even get an answer? Well, this is obviously not a real interview. It's a puff piece. This isn't a real interview. I mean, because if it was, you would actually interrogate him on some of this. This is just like, here's a platform for you to brag about stuff you're doing and stuff you're going to do. Like, what kind of question is this? Are you going to take money from special interest groups? Everyone says no. No one's going to say yes, you know? Oh, are you going to take money from AIPAC? Yes, of course I will. You know, obviously he's not going to say that. He's given money to AIPAC.
Is me.
He hasn't just received money from AIPAC. He's donated to AIPAC.
Chance in hell.
Big tobacco.
And by the way, they're the polluted heart of this climate crisis, big oil, and the lies and the mistruths they've been perpetuating on American people on the global world and the globe are disgraceful.
Big tobacco.
No damn way.
Yeah. What about AIPAC?
AIPAC never have, and will never will.
Were you promised to fight back against these disproportionately powerful special interest groups that are hurting the American people?
Look, I think you follow the money. Every time something goes wrong, follow the money. I continue to support. We've struggled with it, but public financing, we do this. We're constantly doing what we call clean money campaign, and we have to do more and better in that respect. But it's, you know, the revolving door, special interest and lobbying, all the self-dealing with stocks, portfolios. I think we need to have some version of term limits for Congress. I mean, we have to be a reform-oriented party. And that's something in the past we were defending the status quo. Trump took advantage of that. Democratic Party needs to lean in. And when it comes to lobbying reform and it comes to these corporate special interests, we have to.
Yeah, I fucking hate this guy. Against corporate special interests, but also I think that 2028 is going to be an AI election. We need more entrepreneurial interest. Project 2029, such a good name amount. No, it's not. Whatever.